Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The rules of Chris versus the Fan. You have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if he gets it wrong, don't go anywhere because you have a chance to move on to the next question. Or on the third question, he gets it wrong, you win the prize. And the prize is, Mr. Gwynn,
a family four-pack of movie passes to see the biggest summer blockbusters at San Diego's hometown movie theater, Ultra Cinema. Ultra Star Cinema in Mission Valley, where there's lots of parking.
Plenty of parking, and your wife will tell you which spot to take.
Indeed she will. Indeed she will. All right. Well,
honey, we're just joking. That was a carryover from the other day, if she didn't hear the other day.
Joking, not joking.
Joking.
Joking, not joking. Joking.
Yeah. And then our caller also said, no, he doesn't get a place to park either.
All right. Here we go. Mike in San Marcos, you're our first contestant. Thanks for calling in. Happy Thursday.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys.
All right, let's get to this first question. Who had more triples in their career? Ken Griffey Jr. or Alex Rodriguez?
A question for a first one. What's up,
I feel good about my chances if he misses
it. It's a 50-50 question.
I know, but if he misses it, I like my chances.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to go with a non-obvious one and say A-Fraud.
A-Fraud, he said.
A-Fraud.
I like that.
Incorrect.
I'm finding flaws with my questions. Yes. I just found the flaw.
Serious flaw there, bro.
You know, I sat down and I did a true-false, and I said, do true-false, so what did I do? I gave a two-choice answer.
Did a great job there, Scrape.
All right, so wait, do I have to get this right?
For the sake of the contest, I think you do.
What's the contestant's name?
Mike.
Mike.
Mike. So Mike needs me to miss this.
Yes.
And my choices are Ken Griffey Jr.
Or Ken Griffey Jr. at this point.
I guess I'll go with it.
That
Sorry.
Is correct.
Sorry, Mike.
Let's move to the next contestant, Josh in Lakeside. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris. Happy Thursday.
How's it going?
Very
I know
well.
Tony Gwynn Jr. had at least one career triple. I'm sure you had a lot more, but I know you had at least one.
I had a couple more.
Every Padre and Rocky and Brewer fan in the world knows that.
All right, here we go. First question. There it is. Which NFL team is the only team with no logo on their helmet?
Browns.
Very nice work there.
Well done.
Oh, we got a serious player on our hands.
Question number two.
Would you expect him to make a joke out of that answer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Josh. Who holds the major league record for most leadoff home runs?
Ian Kinsler
is the active leader.
Yeah,
is
the active
good call,
leader
good call.
In leadoff home runs, but that is not the correct answer.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Ricky.
You're pretty sure, and it is correct. That is Ricky, pretty Ricky Henderson is the answer to that question. Thanks.
I will never think of Ricky Henderson the same again after our Hall of Fame interview. and your
for the
mom,
better?
My mom helped that.
No,
huh?
Just your mom making him go down and do it. I'll never forget
the
that.
The look
no.
your mom gave Ricky Henderson, I will never forget.
I didn't see the look, but I know your mom, so I know the look.
My mom's a tough cookie, no doubt about it. All right, Miles and El Cajon, welcome to Gwynn and Chris. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, TG, Ella.
Hey, Mike.
Let's get to this first question.
Sorry, Mike?
Miles.
Miles. I'm sorry, Miles.
Here we go. First question. Speaking of King Griffey Jr., what team did King Griffey Jr. finish his career with?
Cincinnati Red.
That is incorrect.
Hang on, Miles. You might have a shot.
Chris, for the
studio. Did you hear it? Oh?
God, what did he do? Did he go back? I'm trying to picture him in any other uniform, and I can't. I think Miles is going to get lucky here. I'm going to say the Mariners. I'm going to say he went back to the Mariners because I really don't remember him in another uniform.
That is correct.
Oh, man.
Although,
sorry, Miles.
Scraby has the White Sox on here, the actual answer is the Mariners. He retired as a Mariner.
No, that doesn't.
No, he played the last season with the Mariners. Retired mid-season.
On his stats, he never said that.
Remember the rumor came out that he was falling asleep in the clubhouse and things of that nature?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
That was with the Seattle Mariners. So, Chris, you are correct. Miles, thanks for competing.
He was with the White Sox?
He was. He got traded to the White Sox in an attempt to get them into the playoffs. They did not make it. But nevertheless, let's move to our next contestant, Sean in Lakeside. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Thursday.
Well, this is disappointing.
Happy Thursday.
Hey, Sean.
Here we go. First question. Who did the Seahawks beat to secure their first Super Bowl title?
The Broncos
is correct.
Still picture Peyton Manning watching that first snap of the game go over his head.
He was under siege the rest of the game.
The rest of the game was a disaster.
Question number two. What city is the only city to have three professional sports teams with the same color scheme?
Wow. New York
is incorrect.
How about Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh Steel Curtain Steelers. That is correct. The Pittsburgh has the Pirates with gold and black.
And also the Penguins.
The Penguins with gold and black. And, of course, the Steelers.
The Penguins were originally blue and black, and then they changed because they thought it might rub off on them, and it actually did.
Do you remember when the Kings were actually purple and gold, too, like the Lakers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Kings were the same as the Lakers. They wore that gold at home, too.
All right. Todd and El Cajon, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Thursday. Todd,
is it
there?
Todd or Tom?
Is it?
Tom?
Sure.
Tom,
I'm sorry. I'm getting bad information from Scraby as usual.
I love how we can blame Scraby for everything. And it's acceptable.
Well, and this time, it's actually true, too, this time. Here we go. First question. Did Alex Rodriguez hit more home runs with the Rangers or the Mariners?
You did it again, Scraby.
Well,
I'm only asking this question because we don't have very many.
Well, for my 50-50 shot, I'll say the Rangers.
I think he said the Rangers.
He said the Rangers, and the best part about it is that's not the best part. That is incorrect, Tom. But the best part about it is he was hoping that these guys got it right.
Yeah.
So his 50-50 questions
wouldn't
pay be exposed.
Off. Yeah.
But they've been exposed both times.
I'll say the Yankees.
All right. Then the Yankees. I heard him.
Right, that's not a serious answer, is it?
It wasn't one of the choices. Wasn't even a choice.
I heard
that
it.
Is also incorrect as well.
All right. Give it to him. Let him go to question two.
We're going to have to call the game.
What?
Call the game. We have to.
What are you, the meanest person on the planet?
I'm calling Tom, it because I need to redesign my questions.
Tom, stay on the line. We'll get you those four packs.
Yeah, Tom wins.
Since Scraby can't get questions right.
I agree with that. Tom wins because Scraby's an idiot.
Wait.
What's wrong with that?
Odyssey is
is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, guys, we are back at Petco Park here before the Padres take on the Rockies. And if you have any Big Five topics, someone submitted one right before this to at Matt Scraby on Twitter, so we'll get that one in there, but not today. So if you have anything, to send it over my way. Let's get to it, Thomas.
Number five.
What are you guys doing on August 13th, 2020?
August 13th, 2020. Have no idea.
Chris, you got anything going on?
Well, yes.
Oh, he does. Okay. He's trying to get out of it already before I even tell him where we're going.
No, August 13th is, my wife would be upset if I didn't mention that that's the date of our first ever date.
Oh.
You'll be busy.
So August 13th is always a special day on the LO calendar.
Wow.
Every year.
Well.
So tell me what I'm going to be missing, because I'll be with my wife probably.
Because the White Sox and the Yankees have a destination game plan. It's not international series or anything like that. Instead, they're going to play a game at the Field of Dreams field in Iowa. Major League Baseball has been trying to expand where games are played and grow the game, and they've done it internationally. They've done it in Japan and London. And now they're going to build an 8,000-seat stadium in the area near the field. So, Chris, do you like these quote-unquote gimmick games that Major League Baseball is doing?
How long is the game going to take?
9 innings?
No, I'm just – what I'm saying is that that's – that I don't really see any of this having a whole lot to do with increasing the awareness and the appreciation for baseball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything right now is all about how long the game is. I don't think it matters if you play it in Iowa or in London or in Japan or at Petco Park. They got to figure out a way to – quicken the pace of the game a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, these games don't bother me. I think they're kind of fun. I'm sure it's fun for the people that are in that area.
Dubuque, Iowa?
Yeah.
It's where my grandparents are from.
I'm sure it's kind of a short ride from Chicago.
No, it's not.
Okay, well.
It's 3 hours.
Never mind. So a few people will enjoy it. The teams will probably just love it right in the middle of the season to just go take a quick 3-hour road trip over to Iowa and get ready to play a game. But, you know, baseball's giving it its best shot, but they ought to spend more time worrying about quickening the pace of the game.
Okay, that's a fair answer. Tony, what do you think? Do you like these gimmick games that Major League Baseball's doing?
I do, but at the beginning of the season, not smack dab in the
in
second
the playoff
half
run?
Of the season when the playoff run, because I would like to know where they're flying into.
They're probably flying into Dubuque, but I don't know that for a fact.
Okay.
Well, we played a Aztec football game, I think, in northern Illinois one time.
Mm.
And we had to fly into I don't know where and bus I don't know how long to get to that game. And that was in DeKalb, Illinois.
Right.
So I'm assuming – and there was nothing but cornfields everywhere.
Right.
So I'm sure this is pretty much a similar thing. And I just can't imagine the Yankees and the White Sox being all that ecstatic about
this. Especially the Yankees. They're not. I mean, Chicago, I mean, you're at least in the realm.
Right, right.
I would have liked to seen this game a little bit earlier in the season.
It's a Thursday, too, by the way.
Oh, so that's either the beginning of the series or that's a getaway day. It's one of the two. So, I don't know. I like these gimmick games, to answer your question. I think it's cool to be able to go to a Field of Dreams and play on a place that you never thought you'd play. But when you put it in terms of the season, and you assume especially the Yankees will be in the thick of things next year when it comes to that time, it's you could do without it at that point.
8,000-seat stadium. I think they – and they're going to construct a stadium, right?
They're making it.
Yeah. Well, that – they could use the money for something better.
They have to use the cornfields for the fence, right? Yeah. If they don't, I'm
nobody,
not into
nobody's
this.
Going up to stave a home run with cornfields hanging in the back.
Can you imagine?
Or I guess you could just sell out and just jump into the corn.
Well, yeah. Can you imagine Aaron Judge in right field going back, diving into the cornfield, getting a kernel stuck in his eye or something?
No, if he jumps into the cornfield, makes the catch, and then never comes out of there again.
Well,
because isn't that what happened in the movie?
Yes.
They just went into the cornfield and then just they disappeared.
Yep.
Yeah.
The promotional teaser that's on Twitter is him, Aaron Judge, walking away, and everybody's saying the same thing, like, he's never coming back. Is he actually dead? Maybe he's dead.
Okay, that's not nice.
Well, I mean, it's part of the story. Anyway. All right. Next year, August 13th, 2020.
I think I'd rather go out on a date with the wife.
Okay.
Number four.
After playing just 10 games in the 2018-2019 NBA season, free agent Carmelo Anthony is trying to revive his career. But the 35-year-old won't be doing it with Team USA because USA Basketball Managing Director Jerry Colangelo told Sports Illustrated that Carmelo, through a representative, requested to play for the team in the 2019 FIBA World Cup, but Colangelo definitely wasn't interested. He said, "I love Carmelo. He made a great contribution. He was a very good international player, but for where we are and what we're doing, that conceivably could have been a distraction. I understand why the request was made. He's trying to reestablish himself. I think that has to be done in the NBA," end quote. So, Tony, do you think Carmelo would have been a distraction?
I don't think he would have necessarily been a distraction, but the story would have been a distraction, right? You get into those camps and it's just you and those guys. They'd rather be talking about the improvement of the young guys and how they're coming together as a squad. Everything I've heard from Carmelo sounds like he's a guy who's been humbled and mm-hmm. really wants to just play.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think the USA camp is the grounds for that, though. I kind of agree with Colangelo on this, that he's got to start in the NBA first and then move. I mean, and that's the way to kind of revive things. I think eventually he'll be on an NBA team. I just don't know where yet.
Chris? Bulls. That, he ought to take a shot with the Bulls, because if he can't make it there, then he can't make it anywhere. I think Jerry Colangelo basically is just being politically correct in answering this question. I think if you gave him some truth serum and had him answer this question, his answer would go something like this. I don't think Carmelo fits on the USA basketball team because he's just not good enough at this point in his career. I don't think Jerry Colangelo wants to say that about Carmelo Anthony, so he comes up with this distraction thing. But, you know, Carmelo does have a long way to go to get back to where people are going to believe he can still play. It's been a couple of years since he's done anything, and even when he did play, other than score, and I know that that's an important part of the game, don't get me wrong, but he didn't do a whole lot else either. So,
poor Carmelo.
I'm not a fan of Carmelo. I never was. I feel bad for him now.
I do too, because he's like, I want to play. And they're making up excuses. He's probably like, really?
Yeah, you know what? If he was a good gamer and a good teammate and a good team player, and he did everything at both ends of the floor, he'd probably still be playing somewhere.
I think you guys are absolving the last two teams he was played on, Oklahoma City and Houston, as if they didn't have a hand in why we view Carmelo the way they did. I mean, he came off the bench without any issues in OKC. They didn't get it done. Then he moved on to Houston. And listen, after he left that team, they still sucked. They still sucked for quite a long time. They ended up being a five seed in that playoffs, four or five seed. So clearly Carmelo wasn't the issue. They had other issues, and they proved that by trading Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook. So I do think, though, ultimately Carmelo has a reputation of being a gunner. And in today's NBA, ISO Carmelo is not a wanted thing. They want ball movement. They want everybody touching it. And I think his past has affected what teams are doing now.
Good stuff. All right.
That's kind of what I said. But Tony said it way better.
Yesterday, as the Orioles were again getting smoked by the Yankees, there was a scuffle in the Orioles dugout between player Chris Davis and manager Brandon Hyde. Davis had to be restrained as Hyde walked away from him, and Hyde said after the game, the subject of the disagreement is going to stay a secret. So, Chris, is this argument a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
It's a little deal. I mean, it's something. Chris Davis ought to go up and thank that, what's the guy's name? Hyde?
Brandon Hyde.
Brandon Hyde, the manager of the Orioles. By the way, I challenge anybody out there who's a big baseball fan to actually name the manager of the Baltimore Orioles. Not
the
easy.
The only reason I know this is because we were at winter meetings when that whole thing came down.
Saying that he wasn't hired and he was hired.
It's the only reason I know that.
I was there too, and I still don't remember his name. But Chris Davis ought to thank this guy every single day for just letting him still play Major League Baseball. I mean, Chris Davis has been just a complete disaster. What, 0-55 earlier this season?
Well, he hit a game winner right here.
Well, yeah, certain crazy things seem to happen here at Petco Park. But, yeah, this is a deal. I mean, when a ball player tries to attack a manager, I think it's something that probably needs to be cleaned up. Now, that organization probably has a lot of other issues that they're trying to deal with at this point. But, yeah, it's a deal. I mean, they're probably better off telling us what it's about than not telling us what it's about. And the reason I say that is because as long as they don't tell us what it's about,
speculation,
then we can just speculate on anything we want.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it was about the pizza order.
Yeah, whatever we might think it is. But, yeah, I think it's a deal.
All right. Tony, what do you think? Big deal, little deal, or no deal?
Little deal. These things happen from time to time.
Going at a manager like he did, like he wanted to fight him.
These things happen from time to time,
right,
as I said. And I'm interested to know what was said, though, because everything I know about Chris Davis, this is through, 3 years of hitting almost one something, had no issues, like, as far as temper. Like, he's been really well-mannered as far as calm. Not
he's become very
it.
Used to hitting one something.
And as long, even when he was going good, he was a guy that is pretty laid back. So, you know, you don't see too often a manager say something to a guy and then head down the steps.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It almost like he knew he might have said something that was crossed the line. And you could tell by Trumbo and some of the guys who were standing there, they're kind of, they kind of stepped there in between.
Yeah.
And that's when Chris kind of tries to push his way through the crowd.
So was
there.
It more of a tough guy reaction because there was someone to hold him back?
No, I think there was something said that he didn't like. And,
interesting.
You know, frustration builds when you're losing games, man. No matter how many games you've lost.
Or how many games you're expected to lose.
That builds up after a while. I would like to know, but I don't think it's a big deal. It's definitely not no deal. It's a little deal.
I go back to Jerry Colangelo and the PC treatment of Carmelo Anthony. I have a feeling that Brandon Hyde probably should have been a little bit more politically correct in the way he took Chris Davis out of that game. And I have a feeling he probably let his own frustration get the better of him.
Yeah.
And that's why, as Tony said, he said what he said, then he got out of there because he realized, wait a second, I probably shouldn't have quite said that. And Chris Davis is a lot bigger than I am. So,
see, that's interesting you said it. The first thing I thought of was he was just removing himself from the situation to stop causing a scene. But that makes more sense, that he realized that he said something that went over the line.
If he was 100% right, he'd have no reason to leave the scene.
Right. And not only that, if he said something that he didn't feel like would cause that reaction, he wouldn't have been said it and then take a beeline down the steps.
Interesting. All right, let's move on to the next.
I like baseball
number
better.
Two.
That's a good one, but do you remember the all-time classic one of these? Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson back in – this is in the 70s, so – but
that
I
was
have
the
to jog everybody's memory. But Reggie Jackson didn't hustle out a ground ball or something and then went out to right field to start the next inning. It was at Fenway Park, and it was a Saturday game of the week. And Billy Martin sent somebody out to right field to pull him from the game. And Reggie Jackson had to jog into the dugout, taken out of the game from right field. And he jogged right at Billy Martin. And the camera was there. And, I mean, it took everybody to hold both those guys back from just going to fisticuffs.
Yeah, Billy wasn't going anywhere.
No. Billy,
neither was Reggie. I mean, it was both there.
Billy Martin, if you read about Billy Martin, all he ever did was manage baseball and get in fights. That's pretty much all he did.
What a resume. Number two, so Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback, he is going to have to wait one more year to go pro. He was a true freshman when he won the national championship last year. People have been talking about this. And recently, former NFL general manager Mike Tannenbaum brought to light the idea that Trevor Lawrence could go pro and play for the XFL before he's able to play in the NFL draft. You have to play 3 years out of high school. He'll only be two after this year. So, Tony, do you think that Trevor Lawrence would be better served going pro and playing XFL for 1 year before he went to the NFL?
No, I don't. First of all, we don't even know what the XFL is going to look like.
That's very true.
Do you really want to risk going to a league that may not even last through its opening season and then miss out on playing some good football for a team that's probably got a chance to win a national championship? I think, why would you – listen, I can tell you I've been an adult now for 18 years, and I can tell you it's much better when you have the little bit of responsibility that you have in college. So,
true.
You know, why even thrust yourself out there to having all this responsibility? Enjoy yourself at Clemson. You're most likely going to be the number one pick when that time comes.
Big man on campus.
Big man on campus. I see no reason to risk that and go to the XFL.
A couple million bucks?
You're gonna make that and more.
As a quarterback
in the NFL. As a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think?
God forbid you go to the XFL and suck.
Well, you also have to realize, is like the ACC level of play higher than the XFL level of play as well?
Right now, we can argue it because we don't know what the XFL has.
That's true. Chris, what do you think?
I want to piggyback off what Tony said. I've been an adult now for about 18 minutes. I wouldn't want to play in the XFL for the following reason. No matter how much money that I might be able to pick up, and Tony got an interesting point. He could go to the XFL and not do very well, and that his stock would go down. But there's going to be some players in the XFL are going to want to get the attention of NFL scouts.
Good point.
Can't think of a better way to get the attention of an NFL scout than to take Trevor Lawrence's head off on a sack. So I wouldn't want to subject myself to that. And, you know, yes, everybody's in a hurry to get out in the world and start making their millions of dollars. But almost every single one of us who does that or has been through it, when we sit back later on, we say, man, I wish I would have stayed in college longer.
100%.
Because that was the most fun I ever had in my whole life.
100%.
So I'm going to say the same thing to Trevor Lawrence. Stay in college and have the most fun you're ever going to have in your whole life.
Enjoy it, brother.
I had a chance to go to London for a semester abroad, and I didn't. And I regret it.
Yeah.
I really wish I would have gone.
You would have enjoyed, I'm sure.
All right, to the last one, and I really like this one because the NBA announced an expanded set of mental health policies for 2019-2020 yesterday. The league office reportedly issued a memo to all 30 teams announcing the following measures required by each team for the upcoming season. The first one is all teams must have at least one mental health professional on retainer, and they have to have experience in assessing and treating clinical mental health issues. They have to be licensed as well. All teams must, quote, enact a written action plan for mental health emergencies, and all 30 teams need to attend a health and wellness meeting in Chicago in September. So this is coming on the heels of players like Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan speaking in the open about mental health issues. Chris, do you think all professional sports need to have something similar in place?
This is high time that this is happening. Absolutely. I mean, you can throw Ron Artest in there and the whole thing on Ron Artest, which all happened before any of this stuff came around. Look, anytime I've ever talked to a psychologist, anytime a psychiatrist, anytime you talk to anybody in the mental health field, they'll tell you that people have an aversion to going to see them because of the stigma attached to dealing with mental health.
100%.
The point is, if you break your arm, you don't think twice about going to the doctor to get your arm fixed. But if something's messed up in your head, everybody wonders, hey, should I do this? Is it going to look bad?
Yes.
If I've got...
It's not going to look bad, sorry.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
I
do.
If I have a mental health professional on the staff of my team, it's a no-brainer. I'm going to go right there, get some help, take care of it. These guys are just like the rest of us in the world. They go through their problems. Some guys have issues. Some guys are able to handle things better than others. But, yeah, I think every team, all pro sports ought to have, and college sports ought to consider employing them as well.
Yeah.
It's not that everybody has mental health issues. Not everybody needs the team doctor either. But when you need it, sure is nice to have it right there. And I commend the NBA for this move.
Nice little submission from Thomas Andrews. He said the Big Three is also doing that. They're implementing a mental health initiative
as well. Good for Ice Cube.
Cube. So, Tony, what do you think?
I think this is long overdue. I think we have a mindset that's in the fabric of our country where toughness is when something's going on up top in your head, you're considered mentally weak.
Yes.
Same thing when I came up in pro ball, right? You didn't want to be in the training room, no matter how hurt you were, because that was a sign of weakness. And what we've learned over time is that how stupid is it for me to be hurt and not go see somebody that can help me
get better?
Be better. It's just dumb. And this is along those same lines. Like, we've gotten to the point now where we have players actually openly talking about it. I think mental health is something that I think as a society we've opened our arms to a lot more than we have in the past. So
yes, because so many people out there going, oh, that's just like me.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. And sometimes this is where having the responsibility as an athlete comes in sometimes, because there are people looking to you and putting you on this pedestal. And honestly, when they find out that you're close to human, just like they are, they can relate a little bit more. And so I think this is a huge step. I agree with Chris. This really should be instituted across the board, not just in pro sports, but also in all college sports. Because a lot of times some of these issues pop up then, and in the past they've just kind of been brushed over and they move on. And then it pops up at the professional level, and it's like, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just said college is the most fun time of your life. It's also can be the most difficult.
Yes. Yep.
And it can be nice to have somebody to help you through some of the issues that you go through. I this is a great move. I'm stunned that I don't mean it this way, but I'm stunned I haven't like called for this before.
Right.
Like this is something that should have happened a long time ago. And, kudos to the NBA for kicking that off.
All right, good stuff, guys. The Big Five brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. Great tasting, crystal clear, odor-free, virtually contaminant-free water for drinking, bathing, and cooking. EcoWater Water System. That's really, 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 really clean water. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com.
You've survived another edition of the Big Five on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back, Gwen and Chris from Petco Park. We'll get back to baseball. But right now, oh, what a great day this is. The opening day of preseason for the National Football League. Joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Channing Crowder. As always, Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Channing, how you doing? Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I'm doing good. Watching this Dolphin game and letting my kids play at Dave and Buster's while I watch it. We got the best of both worlds.
That's not too shabby. All right, full disclosure, let's just get it out of the way right off the bat. The host of this show, that's me, is like a lifelong, all-time Miami Dolphin fan, so it's a great pleasure for me to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much, brother. We appreciate the support. We ain't giving you too much right now, but hopefully Torres will turn it around.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Let's just get it out of the way. Is there any hope at all for there to be happiness with the Miami Dolphins this year, or is it just a total rebuild deal?
It's a total rebuild. Like, you know, you can't say tanking. I don't, you know, say tanking. I've changed it to banking. Banking on young players to work out, banking on, you know, Rosen to work out so we don't have to go chase one of those, you know, Tua, Fromm, Herbert next year. Like, it's a banking year if you want to say tanking. But, yeah, if you see what they're doing next year already with 12 draft picks, have $100 million plus dollars in salary cap next offseason, like, they were setting up for 2020. When Rosen became available, they said, hey, you know, let's kick the tires. This kid was the number 10 overall pick last year, and Arizona's replacing him already with Kyler Murray. So, they had a plan in mind, but if you look big picture at it, you can see what they were doing, Chris Greer, what he was doing. They are trying to see what these younger players, there's only four players on the entire Dolphin roster over 30 years old. They have a bunch of young guys. They want to see which one of those guys are going to work out and what do we need to add with that $100 million and those 12 draft picks next offseason. That's their approach. Don't put any money on the totals over this year. I put it that way.
and the over-under for them wins is only like 5. So
yeah.
I think you kind of made your point.
let's sit about right there at 5. So yeah. Don't put the money on the over. Okay. 11 sounds about right.
I got you.
On the line with us is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Channing Crowder. As always, Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. So you just mentioned Kyler Murray, and so him and his coach, Cliff Kingsbury, are going to make their debut tonight. What do you think about Kyler Murray's chances in the NFL? Because there's a lot of question marks going into it.
They call me a sizist. I'm a guy that wants my middle linebacker to be 40. You know, I'm a guy that wants my quarterback to see 6'4 plus because that's what I like. That's what I've seen historically. That's where I've seen success. Russell Wilson worked it out. You know, Doug Flutie back in the day, he worked it out. You know, you have all those, you know, but you have to bring up that one, that outlier when you talk about some 6 foot quarterback. So Kyler Murray's athletic. Kyler Murray, you know, he can find his zone like a Drew Brees has to, you know, everybody makes fun of him for looking out the top, you know, bottom of his face mask, standing on his tippy toes. I have to see Kyler Murray do it at this level. And the one thing, if he can figure out how to look around the linemen, how to navigate, you know, finding those throwing lanes, a lot of pump faking like Drew Brees does to get his lane. My next concern is that his durability. He's so little. You're telling me Von Miller comes around that edge? You know, you're telling me, you know, one of these, Cameron Wake hits him, you know, two or three times. Is that little body going to hold up? Super athletic. I just need to know if he can work that little tiny body into a NFL, integrate that little body into an NFL offense. And I'm skeptical about it. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. I give him all his love, but I'm skeptical about Kyler Murray and how he's going to deal with the NFL.
Spoken like a true former NFL linebacker. Wants to make sure that he can take the hits. Channing Crowder's with us on the SDCCU fan hotline, radio.com insider. Channing, the Cleveland Browns are getting a lot of play this year, and Baker Mayfield and the addition of Beckham and the old Dolphin, Jarvis Landry, and Kareem Hunt will be joining that team. Is it possible that that team could all come together this quickly, or are people maybe putting a little bit too much pressure on the Browns to be so successful so fast?
It's a lot of pressure, especially on a young team, especially on a Baker Mayfield who doesn't even have an entire season under his belt. Now he has to navigate those personalities, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, and Joku. And now you have Kareem Hunt. He's going to come back, you know what, I think he has an 8-game suspension. He's going to come back at some point. Duke Johnson's already upset. They have a lot of personality, and it's going to be all loves and hugs and kisses and emojis as long as they're winning. When they go out there, I'm telling y'all guys, when they go out there and Odell Beckham has 3 targets, Jarvis Landry has 2 targets, and they lose 25-10 or something, that locker room's going to go crazy. And if it was a Belichick, if it was a Pete Carroll, if it was one of those guys, I can see them holding it together. Freddie Kitchens is already talking about how he doesn't want anybody telling his secrets by secret sources. I don't know if Freddie Kitchens is made to deal with the personality management. It's going to be good and fine as long as they're winning, but you know these D coordinators, you know these offensive coordinators in the league, they're going to figure them out. They're not going 17-0, so we're going to see. I believe that it'll be okay there if Freddie Kitchens can know how to deal with these guys and Baker Mayfield can grow up a little bit and become that manager. If you think about it, Odell Beckham's a kid. He's a baby. He dances. He twerks on videos. Jarvis Landry's a kid, too. He was down here. Jarvis Landry's a kid, too. You know what I'm saying? A lot of those guys, it's a young team. Baker needs to be that calming voice. Baker needs to be that veteran presence that a quarterback brings when you have one of those great, positive teams. I don't know if Baker's built for that, and I don't know if Freddie Kitchens is. So talent-wise, they're one of the top 5, if not top 3, most talented rosters. You brought up the offense. We talked about, think about my Myles Garrett. They brought in Olivier Vernon. You know, like this, you look at that team, Ward. They drafted Ward last year, that corner. They have talent, bro. Top 5, top 3 talent in the league. Now you have to figure out what you're going to do with it. I've seen a bunch of teams with talent that couldn't do it because the head man is Freddie Kitchens, that guy. I think it was a mistake hiring Freddie Kitchens because Baker Mayfield liked him. Baker Mayfield liked him. He probably liked the lady at Burger King too, but you don't make her your head coach. So the thing with me is that the talent's there. Can they keep this thing together for 16 and really 16-plus games if they want to make that Super Bowl run? I think I saw recently they were the 3rd favorite to win the Super Bowl, and this team even had to play together yet. So them expectations are there. It's going to be on. I think it's going to be more about the personalities and the maturity and figuring out how to get through 5 months of talking to these guys off the ledge, having Odell Beckham propose to a kicking net and then punch his helmet and all that. Like, you're going to have that every single week. You saw what his antics did to New York. New York couldn't even deal with him anymore because of all his antics. Now you have 2 of them, if not 3 or 4 or 5 guys with those big personalities, you know, flamboyant personalities. And I don't know if anybody's there that can keep the
keep the train on the track long enough for them to make a deep postseason run.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Channing Crowder joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Well,
these Dolphin guys are funny, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, you're great. You were on a roll there. I love it because that's kind of the same things we've been saying on this show for the entire offseason about the Browns and everything.
A little bit.
One thing I am paying attention to is Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay with his new head coach, Matt LaFleur, and there were some joint practices the other day that got a little out of hand, and they asked LaFleur about, you know, whether or not he liked him. He said he loved him. Aaron Rodgers didn't like him, doesn't want them. What do you think it's going to be like in Green Bay this year? Is that Aaron Rodgers' team with a guy who's head coach, or is the head coach going to take control of that team?
It's Aaron Rodgers' team, man. And Aaron Rodgers knows it. That story that just came out recently about him understanding where Brett Favre was coming from, how he said Brett Favre was kind of, you know, a little butt wipish when he came in as a rookie. That's his team, man. And what I'm looking into recently and reading up on these articles where good quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, they know the playbook. They know what the coach is looking for. So they go out there and run the entire playbook. They run the offense from the line of scrimmage. I played against Peyton and Manning. I played against Brady twice a year for years. So I know he can check from a on-four goal deep play to a fullback trap in 2 seconds. And that's what the greats can do. They can see it. They can see the alignments. They can see the adjustments you make. I remember playing Brady and Manning, actually, up in Indianapolis, where they would smile after you make your defensive adjustment because they know what you're doing. So they'll kick their knee, all that crazy stuff, and then you show your hand and the safety sneaks down, they would literally smile because, oh, I got him. That's what I got. And that's what Aaron Rodgers can do. He can get you. He can get you to jump, show your hand, move around, and then get his team into the best play in the entire playbook. If you want to dummy it down to a high school offense for him and say you're either running this pass or running this run, that's going to take Aaron Rodgers out of everything he's worked for years to get his, you know, mentally diverse with his playbook. And so strong with calling plays, seeing linemen, seeing the technique of D tackles, just everything he's doing. If LaFleur goes in there and really limits Aaron Rodgers' mental capability of adjustment, he is shooting himself in the foot. When you have Aaron Rodgers, just like if you're a Dolphin fan, bro, when we had Dan Marino, you cut Dan Marino loose. You don't put a leash on Dan Marino. You don't put a leash on Aaron Rodgers. You don't put a leash on these guys. And with the practices, the joint practices, I would ask Aaron Rodgers first before I schedule him. That is your franchise. We all know you have to have a quarterback to win in this league. Hey, Aaron, will you want to do a joint practice? Nah, coach, I don't like him. Okay, let's take it out the book. That's how it should be. I really believe that. I know from struggling down here with quarterbacks, I'm a U fan. I know from struggling for years with UF not having a quarterback. Get that quarterback. Make him happen. If you got you a dog like Rodgers, a first ballot Hall of Famer, why would you put a leash on him? Why would you put him in a cage? Let that animal live. Let that animal run and let him win you the game.
Channing Crowder, formerly the Miami Dolphins. I think you got to go back to the Miami Dolphins. They need your leadership to get through these next couple of years, Channing. You got any little eligibility left? You think you could get through one more season?
I'll be hell on goal line. I got about 7 steps either way in me. But if somebody hits me hard, guys, I am going to blow up, and the puddle's going to be IPA. I drink way too much beer to go back to the NFL now.
Oh, you're the best.
That's hilarious. Hey, Channing, thanks so much, man. Appreciate the time. Have a great year, and go fish.
Appreciate you, baby. Go fish. I'll holler at y'all.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Channing Crowder. Insider calls are always brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Thanks to Channing Crowder on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply now at SDCCU.com.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top 5 of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top 5 list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, which are going to be the most disappointing teams in the National Football League this year? Tonight is the opening of preseason play throughout the league. Yes, there was a Hall of Fame game last week, but I believe tonight or the rest of this weekend in, by the way, or by the time the weekend's over, everybody will be in action at least one time. So that means we're just a month away from the season, which is just crazy that it's already here.
I agree.
First thing on disappointing teams. I don't know that you can make this list if you're already a disappointing team. That's the hard thing about disappointing teams. What I mean is, to me, the five teams on my list, I don't think will be the five worst teams in football.
Agreed.
My list is more teams that you think are going to be better than they're going to be.
Yes.
That's kind of the way I went about it. How about you?
Yeah, my list is created by how much hype they have going into the year, and
okay.
I don't think they're going to live up to the hype.
All right. Because, like, for me, the most disappointing team in football, if I looked at it literally,
would be your Dolphins.
5-4-3-2-1 would be the Dolphins, yeah. Obviously the most disappointing team, because they may not win a game, for heaven's sakes.
I mean, they're going to win a game.
The odds are in their favor. I mean, only two teams in the history of football have failed to win a game, but...
What did Channing Crowder say?
Bet the under.
Bet the under on 5.
And 5 is their win total. I've seen more than just Channing Crowder say that about the Dolphins. All right, here we go with the countdown, Thomas.
Number 5.
Go ahead, Scraby. What's your number 5 most disappointing team in the NFL this year?
The Houston Texans.
Houston Texans. Why is that? Were they good last year?
They made the playoffs, didn't they?
No.
Oh, no, they didn't make the playoffs.
Oh, no, they did, and they got beat right away by the Colts in the first round.
Yes.
21-7.
I'm just not a big Bill O'Brien fan. I think that he comes from the Bill Belichick world.
Tree
is what I was looking for there, not world. But
no, that's
right. The Texans, I really want them to be good, but just I think Bill O'Brien is really good at convincing people he knows what he's doing. Because he is quick to throw people under the bus. Very quick. And that's a sign to me that you're not a true leader when you throw people under the bus.
Texans, looking it up, they actually won their division last year and got into the playoffs. So they were pretty good last year.
Yeah.
You're not expecting similar success for them this year.
No, but I love DeAndre Hopkins.
I know you do. He's a 99er.
Yes, he is a 99er. Good job.
I'll tell you one thing. If I watch a Texan game this year, DeAndre Hopkins better catch 14 passes for 350 yards.
He could.
And make me forget about Jerry Rice since
he's
a 99er. All right, my number 5 most disappointing team in football this year will be the Los Angeles Rams.
I see what you did there.
Yes. Look, the Rams, everybody thinks they're the greatest team in the history of the sport. Right? What were they, 13-3 last year, 12-4?
Yeah, but you would think
they beat
were
the Chiefs. They ran the table in the playoff, and then they laid a gigantic egg in the Super Bowl. And everybody's excuse was, well, Todd Gurley didn't play much, and what was it, Cooper Kupp, I beg your pardon, right? He was out. But you know what? I think the Patriots exposed what you can do to the Rams, and I think a lot of teams are going to do that to the Rams this year. Make them... Everybody's going to tell the Rams, hey, we're stopping everything. Let Jared Goff try to beat me. And I think last year teams weren't quite sure what to do with Jared Goff and what to do with Todd Gurley. So they didn't really they didn't take care of either of them. The Rams should be in the playoffs this year. Don't get me wrong. But those who think that they're going right back to the Super Bowl and going to blitz the league with a 15-1 record and record-setting point totals and all of that stuff, I don't see it for the Rams this year. I see maybe a kind of a mediocre, calm 9-7, maybe sneak in as a wild card year.
Oh my goodness!
For the
nine
Rams,
7 would be a disappointment for the Rams. For
That's
sure.
why they're on my list.
I know, and you know what? I know you guys made fun of me last year, but I'm really looking to see if Jared Goff can run the offense without Sean McVay being in his ear up until the 15 seconds left. Like
you always used to say that last year.
And people started pointing it out, too.
But why is that going to change?
I think that he has to get better at
recognizing. But I mean, how did he do it last year?
What do you mean, how did he do it last year?
Well,
he didn't. Jared Goff was waiting for his instructions from his head coach.
Okay, so...
So I want to see him be able to make decisions on the fly. I think that's... You can't rely on your head coach for everything if you're Jared Goff.
seemed to work all right last year until the last game.
The most important one.
Yeah.
All right. Number four. My number four team is going to be the Indianapolis Colts.
Ooh.
People are really
happy. You are really bucking the trend there, yeah, because everybody thinks the Colts are going to be the team that steals the AFC away from the Patriots this year.
People are really worried about Andrew Luck. Still isn't throwing. Or maybe he threw today. I haven't seen anything.
I don't think anybody's worried about that. You are.
I'm worried about Andrew Luck, and I'm also – I just don't think the Colts have it. Not this year.
They don't have it.
I don't think they have it.
They got everything.
I don't think they have it.
They got the quarterback. They got the receivers. They got the running back.
Offensive line?
Their line has been built up beautifully.
Quentin Nelson is a stud for them.
Quentin Nelson is a stud for them.
Their first-round draft pick says so.
Come on.
Is he? He's the Notre Dame guy?
Yeah.
Well, let's see him block in the NFL first before we anoint anyone.
What do you mean? He was drafted last year.
I'll say this, though. Picking the Colts to be a disappointment isn't really that big of a reach, only because people are picking them so high this year.
You're right, Thomas. Quentin Nelson, I thought he was a defensive lineman, but you're right. You're right. He was in the league last year. My number four is the Colts.
By the way, anytime there's a disagreement between you and Thomas, I'm sure Thomas is right.
When it comes
to
football,
you don't really
yes.
need to point that out.
When it comes to football,
you don't really need to point that out anymore. We'll just assume if you and Thomas disagree that Odd Thomas is correct.
Well, what I do when I get embarrassed is I point it out.
Okay.
So that's what I do.
All right, my number four most disappointing team will be the Los Angeles Chargers.
Wow, you're going both LA teams.
Yes, why not? Look, the Chargers were 12-4 last year. They had a better record than the Patriots. Mm-hmm. They did.
They got smoked in New England.
Well, we know
playoffs.
That. Look, it's already off to a bad start with Melvin Gordon sitting on the sidelines. I am sure, and I think every San Diego football fan will back me up on this one, I am sure the Spanos family will mess that situation up as bad as it can possibly be messed up. And don't think it won't be a distraction. It will be a distraction. And the Chargers are already off on the wrong foot. They might make the playoffs. I don't know. Similar to the Rams, 9-7, something like that. But people that think this is the year the Chargers go all the way and grab the brass ring, let me tell you something. Spanos will never, and I'm banging the table here in the press box.
And all the guys are looking.
Sorry, guys.
Gave the thumbs up, though.
Sorry, guys. But I'm passionate about this one. The Spanoses will never hold that Vince Lombardi trophy. I can't see it. Ever.
All right. Number three. My number three, we just talked about them, the Green Bay Packers.
Oh. They were already a little disappointing last year, though.
Very disappointing.
6-9-1.
People thought they were going to win the World Series, the Super Bowl. I'm looking at a baseball field right now.
If they had won the World Series last year,
that would have been shocking.
That would have been newsworthy.
The Packers, I just don't think Aaron Rodgers really – I don't think his – I guess I'm calling out his will to play the game because I don't think it's as strong as people think. He wants it as bad. You know what I mean? And I think he wants it his way or the highway, and there's going to be some headbutting, and there's going to be some infighting, and I think it's just going to be bad. So the Packers.
The Packers, the guys that got surrounding Aaron Rodgers are not nearly as talented as what they used to have. I think that that's something that needs to be pointed out.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to stay in the same division with my third most disappointing team.
Okay.
No way the Chicago Bears are bouncing back with another season like they had last year. Everything went the Bears' way.
That was a dream season.
I like Mitchell Trubisky, but I really liked, was it Jordan Howard, the running back, that they no longer have?
Yes.
He's now with the Eagles. And I never felt like the Bears knew how to use Tariq Cohen. And I can say that for certainty because he was on my fantasy team. And was a complete disappointment every single week last year, except for the couple of times that I benched him because he wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, you know, he'd go crazy. Anyway, but that's not why. I just think the Bears had everything roll their way last year. The Vikings were down, injured. I think the Vikings come back a little bit this year. Detroit's a little better. I think everyone in that division's better. I disagree with you on the Packers. I think they'll be better than 6-9-1. So I just don't see it all falling the Bears' way as it did last year. So they're my number three disappointment.
Pick.
Number two.
My number two is probably the most shocking of them all.
49ers?
No, I'm not putting them on this list.
Oh.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Chiefs. The Chefs.
The Chefs.
You don't think the Chefs are going to repeat?
I don't.
Why
I really
not?
Don't. I'm just not sold
What's
on everything.
What's going to happen?
They lost Kareem Hunt. They have Tyreek Hill, who had an injury. It's not very serious in the training camp. He was carted off. Not yet. Tyreek Hill's got a lot of stuff going on off the field. I just think that there's a lot of pressure on the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes in his third year.
But second real year where he's the guy.
Coming off of his MVP, I think that he's going to struggle a little bit. People really want to... When you have success one year, the next year, especially in your division, they want to stop you. They want to make sure that you can.
Yeah, but who's going to stop them? We already said that the Chargers are going to be disappointing. We know the Broncos are going to be bad. And we know the Raiders are going to be...
No. No?
That's the only reason I can't get behind the Chiefs having a disappointing year. Because I don't see anybody else in that division that can give them a run.
Well, Mr. Ketchup is going to... I would say a disappointment is 10-6 for them.
Okay. Number two for me, New York Jets.
What?
New York Jets.
I know I heard you, but...
Well, everybody's expecting with Le'Veon Bell and with Sam Darnold and with Crazy Eyes Adam Gase. You know I can't root for Crazy Eyes Adam Gase.
No.
After he left the Dolphins in a lurch, and I could see that he couldn't coach because I watched every play for the last 3 years. So I don't think he's all of a sudden going to figure it all out. Darnold still has a long way to go. Too many turnovers. Le'Veon Bell's going to find the going a little tougher behind that New York Jet line than he did against them with the massive Pittsburgh Steeler line. They used to just road grade people and let Le'Veon Bell dance around back there and then pick a hole. This year, Le'Veon Bell's going to dance around back there and he's going to get flattened. The Jets, people are excited about the Jets. Look for them to give the Dolphins a run for their money at the bottom of that division.
All right. All right.
Number one.
And the number one for me is going to be the Cleveland Browns.
Me too!
Really?
Yeah.
They have their hype. People are acting like they are the best team that's been in this league in years. They're better than the Patriots. They're better than, you know, the Chiefs. They're better than everyone. But I just don't see it this year. I think that there's too much pressure. And I feel like Baker Mayfield and the boys... As Channing Crowder said, they just want to be in the spotlight. Football maybe isn't the most important thing for them.
I think football is important, but I agree with you that the spotlight is the thing that they want the most.
Yeah, football's important.
And I think what you need to want the most is winning. And I'm going to just say this about Cleveland. We'll see about Freddie Kitchens. Maybe he's got the magic touch. But when you go from zero wins to seven, which is what they did last year, now this year comes around and you're not going to get any freebies.
No.
Last year, believe me, teams tried to talk themselves into it when they played the Browns. Hey, we got to be ready for this team. It's another NFL team. They got good players. But nobody believed it. They showed up and figured they would just beat the Browns just by showing up.
Yep.
And guess what? The Browns are talented enough that if you do that, you will get beat. Well, this year teams will be ready for the Browns. I've seen it 100 times. The Browns
just
made...
Just 100?
At least 100. That's how old I am. But, no, honestly, I have. Where teams go from nowhere to something, and everybody just assumes now they're going to go from something to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it doesn't... It
doesn't work that
very
way.
Very rarely works that way because now they're going to get challenged every single week. They're going to get teams' best shot, which they didn't get last year.
And people really want to punish Baker Mayfield, like you've been saying.
I do.
You do.
I'd like to get a lick on that guy.
So the 49ers really weren't number one for you?
No, I didn't put the 49ers on my list. The 49ers aren't going to be a disappointment this year because they were, what, 4-12 last year?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard for them to be a disappointment this year. They'd have to go like 2-14. And I got to believe if Jimmy G just stays upright, they're going to win more than four games this year.
Yeah.
Especially they got the Cardinals in their division. That's two right there.
Yeah, the Cardinals are awful, which is great.
For the Niners.
Yeah.
All right, that's our countdown.
The countdown is now closed.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.